+49.
Bienvenidos to a new episode of +49. My name is Sigrid Arteaga. Thank you so much for being with us today. We've got you some stories, insights, and conversations from across Germany and beyond. In this episode, we're going to be taking a look at what's been making headlines here in Germany this week, from Interior Minister Alexander Dobrindt's controversial push to extend border checks to a landmark Berlin law that will speed up and simplify the recognition of foreign qualifications. And now that summer has finally made a comeback, we're going to be exploring the very particular way Germans do picnics. I'm pretty sure that by now you have already seen these waterproof blankets and the perfectly portioned snacks. We'll dive into that in a little bit. Our guest this week is Susa. She is the creator of Sensen. Sensen is your companion and it guides you and it tracks you in case you're pregnant and you have gestational diabetes diagnosis. Sensen is a trusted expert in your pocket, ready for whenever you need it. This is an all-in-one app that helps turn the confusion into confident choices, empowering you to manage your health and focus on a healthy future for you and for your baby. Without much further, let's get into it. This week's news starts with Germany's Interior Minister, Alexander Dobrindt, who has confirmed that federal border checks will continue beyond planned September 15th. This move is drawing sharp criticism from legal experts and opposition politicians. Under EU law, Schengen members can only impose temporary internal controls in case of serious threats to public order or security. Migration law professor Konstantin Hruška calls the extension clearly unlawful, warning that failing migration numbers undermine the government's legal justification. The EU Commission, however, is unlikely to intervene anytime soon. Dobrindt has also announced plans to ramp up deportations, including to conflict zones such as Afghanistan and Syria. This past July, 81 Afghans with criminal records were removed from Germany, a step hailed by conservatives but condemned by human rights groups. Left Party MP Clara Bünge accused the government of hardliner optics at the expense of rights, while the Greens' Marcel Emmerich called the controls illegal symbolic politics that divert resources from genuine security needs. Meanwhile, in Berlin, the Senate has passed a landmark law to speed up and simplify the recognition of foreign qualifications, particularly in high-demand sectors like healthcare and teaching. Applicants will now be able to submit documents in English, request recognition even if they're not currently working in their trained field, and expect decisions within tight deadlines. Nursing assistant applications must be processed within 3 months. At the federal level, the Health Ministry is pursuing parallel reforms to tackle staff shortages in medicine. Proposed changes include streamlined knowledge tests instead of lengthy equivalency checks, faster cross-border coordination, and a more consistent framework nationwide. Together, the Berlin and federal reforms signal a push to make Germany more attractive to skilled migrants, even as border policies debates takes an increasingly hardline turn. You probably by now all know the idea of picnic. Grab some snacks, find a nice spot outdoors, enjoy the sunshine. But like in many other things, Germans have a few distinct habits that make their picnicking style, let's call it unique. First, there is equipment. The classic woven picnic basket? Not so uncommon here. Instead, expect a portable cooler box to keep drinks and salads chilled, and almost without a fail, a picnic blanket with an insulating waterproof layer. Because damp grass shall never ruin your day. Germans come prepared. Napkins and wet wipes for messy children's hands or adults after a sticky apricot tart. In my case, your dog eating a watermelon. That also works out. Sunscreen with a high SPF, maybe even a white brimmer hat or functional cap for the kids. And because mosquitoes can be very persistent, or wasps, a good insect repellent is also essential. Finally, a trash bag for after, leaving nothing behind but flatted grass. When it comes to the food, well, it's all about practical enjoyment. The best picnic snacks require little fuss. Pre-slides finger food. They have to be pre-slides before it ends up in that picnic bag. Then you also have to add some sturdy salads and treats that can survive even a few hours in the sun. Snack vegetables like cherry tomatoes, baby cucumbers, and pepper prays perfectly with hummus or hearty spread. Add some baguettes, some cheese cubes, and you've got yourself a meal. Sandwiches are another staple. From simple rolls with ham and cheese to fancier options like caprese panini, halloumi with grilled vegetables, or a bagel with cream cheese and smoked salmon. Germans also love filled rolls cut into bite-sized pieces for easy sharing. If you're into sweets, just like myself, there's just one golden rule. No chocolate in the sun. Instead, go with muffin, marble cakes, puffy pastries, or go to the desserts in a jar, like pudding, rice pudding, or creams with berries. These are a hit and store very well in a cooler. And since we are in Germany and nothing can be easy if you can do it hard, there's also something like, let's get creative. Like do a stack with tomato, mozzarella, cucumbers, or fruit. Puffy pastry, pockets filled with spinach and feta, mini pizza rolls for the carb enthusiast, and cold meatballs that travel well and taste just as good without reheating. Salads, especially pasta or chicken salad, are very popular, but you can skip the mayonnaise on hot days. On a more cultural note, German picnics often double as a lesson in sustainability. You will see reusable containers instead of disposable plates, and even inventive hand-washing fountains. These are made out of water bottles and cloth to avoid unnecessary waste. So maybe you're in a lake, in a city park, or on the edge of a forest. German picnic isn't just about eating outside, it's about the preparation, the practicality, and a little touch of order, even in the great outdoors. We're joined today by Susa. She is a mother, she's an entrepreneur, a cat mom, and she has developed an app companion called Sensen. Susa, thank you so much for being with us today.
Hello, everyone.
So let's jump right into Sensen. Tell us a little bit about Sensen.
It's a companion app for pregnant women with diabetes. What does it mean? Someone who gets pregnant, out of the blue, they get a diagnosis. Okay, you have gestational diabetes, but what does it mean? You have to change your life from one day to another because they say if your blood sugar level higher than this, you'll hurt your baby. See you in 2 weeks or a month. And then it's the work starts and the whole stress because you have to learn what the heck is this, what you are not allowed to do and what you can do to manage better. So suddenly you have to be a nutritionist, a psychologist, I don't know, even like a yoga teacher or like a trainer and a microbiologist. So it's not easy. And then you have to prick your finger at least 10 times per day, which is also not a pleasing thing. So
10 times a day.
Yeah, at least. It's a constant worry because even could be more. And, you know, I don't know if you know that, what contains more carbohydrate, 100 gram of vanilla Häagen-Dazs or 100 gram of banana?
No, I have no idea.
Yeah, you don't know that. And it actually, It contains the same amount of carbohydrate and you shouldn't eat it when you have gestational diabetes. So it's not easy. It's a hard learning curve. And our app is trying to help to make it easier, smoother, and you can be more educated. And if you know better your condition, you are able to manage better. That's the goal.
Well, so can someone just walk me through the process? I get pregnant and then out of the blue, I have diabetes?
Yes, because it's a protocol in Germany. Around 20th week of the pregnancy, you have to go through a test. Or actually, in Hungary, it's a protocol. Everyone has to do this. And then if your body is reacting wrong, then you fail the test and they say, okay, now you have gestational diabetes. Recently, there are more mothers who can identify this even earlier because a lot of women has insulin resistance, PCOS, or other issues, even diabetes, existing diabetes. So they can be identified as a patient from day one or even like earlier in their pregnancy. So yeah, it's not easy.
It's definitely not easy. Well, any part of the pregnancy is also not easy. Your body's changing all the time. And then on top of that, you have diabetes. So yeah, that can be a shock. We're back with Susa from Sensen. And I just discovered that a pregnant woman, even though before she was very healthy, during her pregnancy, she can get diabetes. And for that, you have to understand not only what you're eating, but how you're moving. So basically, it's a change in your lifestyle.
Yeah, you have to adjust yourself a really strict diet. You have to eat always in the same time, every 3 hours. You have to check your blood sugar level all the time. You have to figure out tips and tricks how you can lower your blood sugar level. For example, in which order you eat your food, dishes. You have to go for a walk after each meal. Or you need to figure out how to be less stressful, even though it's super stressful because stress is raising your blood sugar level. How you can sleep better, even though it's hard when you are pregnant, because if you are tired, also raising your blood sugar level.
Okay, I'm very overwhelmed. So I guess this is one of the reasons why you came up with Sensen, to try to help people not being this overwhelmed.
That's why that's the name Sensen. A lot of people asking why Sensen, because we didn't want to refer to diabetes or pregnancy or glucose. We want to keep this calm and confident pathway.
How long have you been doing Sensen?
2 years. Yeah, I guess since 2 years. But now we reached that point when we have a product in the app stores and it's available in English and German and soon in French as well.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
How has it been for you as a mother now starting your own business and also doing it in bureaucracy Germany?
It's also kind of up and down because, of course, I want to create something which is more meaningful or kind of a role for my daughter. But I'm a single mom as well. So when I'm sitting 12 hours next to my computer and my daughter is in the other room on the screen or something also at the same time, I feel like super guilt and, oh, okay, and then I constantly try to create better schedule, better time management, better separating of work life and family life. So I'm getting better now, I guess, I hope. But it's not easy, yeah, just constant challenge to not feeling guilty and also keep healthy, even your mind. Because if you are getting waking up and go to sleep with this issue, how to manage, then it can cause some mental issues as well.
Do you think creating a project like yours would have been easier in Hungary, where you were originally from?
No, I don't think so. Here in Germany, it's really great. If you are even a newcomer, there are plenty of support if you have an idea. And you can apply for so many scholarships or support groups. That's what I really like. But after these programs, you have a half-ready product and just like a pre-revenue, pre-everything idea. And from there, it's really hard to go further. Because the next support basically is coming when you have like series A or something. So even it, in the US, they call it the valley of death of startups when you are ducking between pre-seed and series A or seed, because you don't have yet revenue, you don't have yet so many things, but you would need to find an investor, but you are not able to achieve by your own. So it's kind of a chicken and egg problem. For example, we struggled a lot. We need a medical device certification, which costs money. We need to raise money for that. But this investor says, why don't you have medical device certification? Yes, because we need money. So, but in the end, we managed. Actually, yeah, so I'm really proud of my co-founder. He is doing really well. He's developing basically everything. And we work with interns whom I tremendously thankful, because they give all of their energy and creativity, and we couldn't manage without them. So, and I think in Berlin you can find a really great startup community, so really supportive community.
It is indeed sometimes this question of should I always go back to my home country when it is summer, it is raining, and you somehow have winter blues in the summer, and then you decide like, I want to go back to my home country. And then that's why questioning yourself about, is it easier here than in my home country, kind of gives you a little bit more of understanding that, yeah, even though it's, again, summer and it's raining, Berlin is actually a very cool place to be in to start things. So we've been talking about diabetes on the pregnancy and how unique the situation is. Have any of those new products that I've seen, at least, I mean, I do not know myself around diabetes, but I think there is a feeling that if you have diabetes, you're also a little bit stigmatized that.
Exactly. Especially when you're pregnant and you get the diagnosis, and even from doctors, I heard stories from mothers. The doctor said it's your fault, but and it's nobody's fault. Literally, it's genetics, or it's your age, what you can't change, because later age it's more, you have more chance to develop it. Or someone can be overweight not because they always eating I don't know, you know, donuts with Coke. So it's not like this. And also, when someone is failing in the end, they can't follow the diet super strictly, and you are pregnant, you are invited to a birthday party, and you see all those cakes. It could happen. We are humans. You eat a piece of cake, and it's not a drama. You don't hurt your baby, and nobody should tell you are already a reckless mother, just your baby is even not even born, just because you couldn't resist and you ate a piece of cake. No, it's a learning curve, and one wrong readings is not hurting your baby. Of course, you need to be aware longer term, but it's not. It shouldn't be about the constant guilt, because it's nobody's fault.
Because at the end of the day, you have diabetes. A lot of people believe that having diabetes, as you said, is because you ate too much sugar. And if you gain weight, then it's because you're not moving enough. So there, it comes a lot of things about diabetes that are seen as it is your fault, definitely. And in this case, you not only have diabetes, but you're putting your baby at risk. So it's like a lot of things happening, what the society is telling you that is wrong with having diabetes and being pregnant. You said early on that you also helped a lot with mental health. What type of instruments can we find in SenseSend for this?
Actually, the heart of our app is, it's what we created. It's, we call it conversational feature. So of course it's an AI, but built with nutritionists, with a psychologist, the gynecologist, and our own experience. And based on almost 100 interviews, what we conducted. So it's able to, so we can start conversation with our patients, and we can say, hey, your blood sugar level this and this, and let's see what have you done and how you can improve. But the moms are able to start a conversation like, oh my gosh, is it true gestational diabetes causes autism? And doesn't matter if you have a question at 2 in the morning, or you have a, so there is no silly question or there is no stupid question. It's also really important. It's a safe space. So you can ask anything what you want to ask, because you won't be paternalized. You won't be look at like, oh my gosh, you're asking again, I told you yesterday or something. So it's not like, and there is no stupid question really. So it's really important. There is someone in your pocket who can be with you all the time, 24/7, and doesn't matter. There won't be any judgment. You can ask what you really want to ask.
It is very important to have a community and a place where we can ask our questions. As someone who has migrated to Germany, you realize that sometimes you just need to ask questions, and nobody should go and say like, yeah, you asked that yesterday. How was the process for you from coming from Hungary to Berlin? Did you have a lot of cultural shocks, or did you realize that, oh yeah, Germans and Hungarians are very alike?
Actually, my daughter was around 5 when we moved here, and I thought, okay, she's in still kindergarten, so she has time to learn the language until she goes to school. And honestly, I would move anywhere in Europe, but I used to live in Berlin 16 years ago, and I had friends here, so I thought, okay, I don't speak really well German, and it's my fault, I'm learning. And I could have a job with English. I have already some friends. The city is familiar with me. So then we started here. But to move to another country, and you have to start again to create a bank account. Then you create basically yourself as an adult again. I felt like I'm a teenager, 18 years old, because I have to create a new identity, and I have to figure out who I am again, which in the beginning it's really funny. And you have a lot of friends who never, just you can be anyone because nobody knows you. But at some point, I really miss my friends who knows me since kindergarten, and we finish each other's sentences or these things. But anyway, it's really, really interesting. And also, it's really interesting, but changing also in a good way this system here in Germany, because in the beginning nobody were willing to talk with you in English. They weren't really helpful. They weren't really happy with you. But I see it's changing recently. So even they don't speak English with me, they really appreciate my broken German, and they try to understand me. They really try to help as they can if I need it. And yeah, but sometimes I feel like I would live in the middle of forest in an off-grid tiny house, and having no bank card, having no any email to be signing.
Oh yes, I can understand that very well. We're back with our last part of the conversation with Susa. Susa, where can we find Zenzen?
www.zenzen.me or in the Apple Store and Google Play, Zenzen Pregnancy Guide. You can find it. And you can find us on Instagram as well, or LinkedIn.
So you already have the app, you are ready to go. And how has it been for you to see your baby already on the market? And of course, you already have probably a lot of women that are giving you feedback.
We have around 100-150 users at the moment, and I would really love to get all this. If someone is trying out, please send me an email or reach us on Instagram, whatever, because we really would love to hear any feedback. If they think it's a terrible app, also would be helpful if they say why it's a terrible app, because I think that we are not able to create something which is beneficial without learning what our patients or users really need. Because even though we conducted a lot of interviews, of course, user tests, but it's never done. It's always keep growing. We have so many ideas how to improve it, how to make it better. we talk with doctors also, how we could make it kind of more functional for doctors as well. But we need a feedback from women who ever was in this situation, what would be helpful for them, what they really need, how they could make it better. So try out, please, and then just send your feedback. Even it's good, bad, it's always good to hear.
So what are the next steps for Sensen to get 1 million users?
Definitely, the 1 million users. And we would love to partner with health insurance companies, so make a little bit easier for mothers, because it would be kind of reimbursed. So but it's not expensive at the moment at all. But we want to also create a community around Sensen of not medical professionals by all means, but nutritionists, yoga teachers, doulas, midwives, or anybody who can help, not the clinical side, because they need a lot of learning, they need a lot of support. And we would love to implement a telehealth feature where at the moment our users are talking with an AI, which is trustworthy and uniquely developed for this situation. But sometimes there is a reason when we need to talk with a human. So we want to implement this opportunity to book a call with a needed expert. If you have only one question, but you can't find a nutritionist in 2 months, but you need to know this tomorrow, then that would be easier.
Susa, thank you so much for being with us today. And of course, anybody out there, it's not that we're hoping. For those who are actually getting pregnant and sadly have this situation, you'll now have an option, which is a great thing. And we encourage you to go to sensen.me and find out how you can be in a healthy way with your diagnosis, which is not very easy to do. But Susa, thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
In this week's episode, we dive deep into diabetes during the pregnancy, but the condition itself affects far more people than many of us realized. In Germany, around 1 in 8 adults lives with diabetes, and managing blood sugar is key to preventing serious long-term complications. One technology making that easy is continuous glucose monitoring, or CGM. Instead of the finger prick test, a small sensor on the arm measures the glucose levels around the clock and sends the data to a smartphone or reader. Patients can see in real time how meals, exercise, stress even affect their sugar levels. This gives you the possibility to act immediately if they are too high or too low. For many, that instant feedback is a game changer, helping them make healthier choices and stick to treatment plans. But living with diabetes isn't only a medical challenge. A recent survey found out that 40% of people with the condition have skipped doctor's appointments due to the shame or the stigma, and nearly 1 in 4 has faced prejudice comments in a daily life. Experts warn that this social pressure can harm mental health and make managing the disease harder. The takeaway? Better awareness, empathy, and supportive conversations can be important, as technology is helping people with diabetes live well. If you have this condition, take a look at the options available for you through Abbott. They might have something for you that can make your life better.
Laws 49. Ask a German.
Oh, my question is, why men are obsessed with white tennis socks with sandals? I don't get this. And I can't imagine why they are wearing this together.
I agree with you. And I think calling it sexy might be a bit of a stretch. But iconic? Absolutely. The combo of socks and sandals has long been a symbol, sometimes lovingly, sometimes mockingly, associated with Germans, especially German tourists. For decades, the stereotype was the older man in short shorts, leather-trekking sandals, and bright white tennis socks, striding happily through the streets of Mallorca or the trails of the Alps, blissfully unaware that the international fashion police were shaking their heads. It's not entirely clear how this image took hold. Some fashion historians point out that the look isn't uniquely German, actually. Ancient Romans wore socks with sandals, and traditional Japanese tabi socks were designed for thong sandals centuries ago. But Germans gave it global visibility thanks to a love of practical footwear and, let's be honest, a certain disregard for fleeting style trends. And there are practical reasons. Socks absorb sweat, protect from blisters, and make a pair of sturdy sandals last from morning hikes to evening beer gardens. Fast forward to today, and the story takes a twist. What was once a fashion faux pas has been rebranded. Brands like Birkenstock and Adidas Adilette have been embraced by hipsters, runway designers, and even celebrities like Justin Bieber and Mary-Kate Olsen. The trend has gone post-ironic, looking deliberately uncool as a statement. Now you spot young Berliners in fisherman hats, vintage shorts, and yes, socks and sandals, walking around like they invented the look their grandparents perfected. So, do Germans wear socks and sandals because they think it's sexy? Probably not. Comfort, functionality, and a dash of we don't care what you think are much closer to the truth. But given that the combo now appears in high fashion shows and street style blogs, maybe the real answer is it's only a matter of time.
That's it for this episode of Plus 49. Thank you so much for being with us today. And thank you, of course, to our guest, Susa from Sensen, for sharing her story with us. And of course, for sharing her new baby, Sensen. As always, you can find all our past episodes wherever you get your podcast. Just search under Plus 49. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at plus-49. For extras, updates, and some behind-the-scenes content. Thank you for listening. Stay outside in the sun as much as you can, and see you next week. Hasta la próxima.